Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full Sam Kerr.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 9.7. I'm Ben, we've got Liam, and we've also got Josh.
Yeah, I'm
Get
signing
Cereal.
Off from the Get Cereal team, guys. It was lovely to have you from 6 to 9.
From sucks.
Excuse me. I don't know.
Liam's a bit of a
bit of a racist.
Racist,
I think.
Yeah.
Honestly. Oh well. You know, what do you do about that? I suppose some people are just the way they are. But we'll leave it. I'm leaving you. Oh, to be honest, my team's ditched me, so I'm saying I'm leaving you in the very capable hands of the sports desk. But you know, they've left me.
Nah, it's all good. We're very capable hands. We'll take it on.
What are you guys talking about today? Give us a synopsis.
What are we talking about, Liam?
Well, what you said off air, we're talking about sports that you hit the ball, mark the ball, kick the ball. Sports where people get tackled.
Yeah, there's tackling sports.
People, there's a winner and a loser.
Sports. Oh, there's a lot of those sports. Yeah.
There's like a sport where cars go boom boom.
I do love those sports, you know.
Also, sports where people cheat. So you've got those sports, and disgrace a nation where the main sport is this sport and embarrass themselves and everyone who's ever played the game. Nothing big.
Cheating. It's been like people cheating in sports. Not like people cheating full stop. But,
yeah, it's been a relatively quiet weekend in sport. I don't know if you agree there, Ben. Nothing much has happened.
Extremely quiet. Nothing major at all.
Nothing much has happened.
We've struggled to fill the run sheet here today.
I think we're like, we might even have a 20-minute show. It's very, very nothing.
See, I would have loved to hear about more of the sports.
The sports where things happen.
What about theatre sports? What do you think of those, guys? Are they something you talk about?
What's a theatre sport?
Define a theatre sport. Give us an example.
There's one called, I think, Space Jam. And that's one...
That's where, a movie.
Oh, it is too. Damn. I was thinking of something. There's something similar to that. But people will do like a theatre sport, and then you'll freeze in a certain position. And somebody has to take over from that position and interact with those. Do you talk about those kind of sports?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We may have to talk about it later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the Melbourne Comedy Festival's coming around, so they're doing sports per se.
So, do you class dancing as a sport?
I don't know. I guess you kind of have to.
Yeah, it's physically exerting.
Liam's just completely stuffed his headphones. Just. My voice absolutely blasting his ears, which is absolutely memorable.
I'm trying to fix the headphones and, must
have
been on full
blast. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'd say dancing in the sport, yes.
What do you think of that?
I can't hear it. Oh, no, that's good. Yeah. Thank you. You are such a lovely human being.
That is the Good Cereal team.
Are you single, by the way? Like, I can advertise you to the ladies if you're...
Well, I might be going on a little bit of a date today. Not today, tomorrow, actually.
He's got perfect pearly whites, great hairstyle, looks like he's not going bald, sexy New Zealand accent, a terrible grey jacket, but you know, you can look past that. This guy is an ex-bachelor. He is a phenomenal specimen.
Sports desk, they're too kind. You know, my team just sort of insults me, but you know, maybe I should join you guys.
You should,
But I'll leave yous to it.
Thank you very much.
Continue your sports talks and I'll get back to eating my cereal.
Yes, so Ben, the ball that got hit, how good was that hit of the ball?
Yeah, so what Liam is referring to is cricket here, and it's a very, very interesting third test match to say the least. But before we get into any of the controversy which has come about from this third test, we'll get stuck into the results of that match. So South Africa, they won by a whopping 322 runs. So in the first innings, they posted 311. Dean Elgar, he carried his bat through with a score of 141 not out. In the second innings, Australia were only able to post 255. The top scorer there was Cameron Bancroft with 77.
And that's probably the last you hear about Bancroft, really.
For a while, potentially.
Yeah, nothing much happened there.
Yeah. In the second innings for South Africa, they posted a total of 373. Aiden Markram top scored there for South Africa with 84 runs. And then... in the second innings for Australia, we were bundled out for a measly 100. and 7 runs. Top scorer for the Aussies, David Warner on 32. So, not too pleasant of a test match there for Australia results-wise, but also controversy-wise, because, Liam, what occurred?
Yes, during day 3 with Bancroft, got caught on the camera. Don't know why he would do something so stupid. Had got caught grabbing a bit of yellow tape and rubbing the ball. Rubbing against the sand first to make it look like sandpaper, then rubbing against the ball. Once he realised he got caught on camera, chucked it down his pants. Which again,
just made it a lot worse.
That would not have been comfortable trying to rip that off, you know, his private area. Ooh. But, oh, that... And they came out during the press conference after the game and admitted the cheating. Smith said, you know, it was the leadership group's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means it was a premeditated thing to cheat. And you did say off air that every team does it, you just don't get caught. And the fact that we got caught, it's not a good look.
Not at all. I think it is a bit of an accusation, but I think it's fair to say in the cricketing world that it's well known that teams do it. Teams do attempt to cheat, and in this sense is tampering the ball. I mean, you get a prime example of every single team pretty much does it, and this is a prime example of cheating and ball tampering. They throw the ball into the pitch.
Mm.
They throw the ball into the pitch before the keeper, trying to get one side rougher than the other, and then obviously the umpires have to tell them to stop. There's a clear-cut example of cheating. And obviously, the Australians have just done this with getting like dirt, other particles. We saw Faf du Plessis getting caught with a cough lolly. So it's definitely something that isn't... It's common in cricket, and it's not... I think the reaction to this is a little bit over the top. Obviously, it's not great, but it's just the fact that we got caught. And the fact that they tried to cover up... I actually quite like it that they came out and just admitted it straight out, because you won't get a lot of teams doing that, admitting it, yeah, we've done this, whatever. They'll try and, like, hide it or whatever and all this. But, yeah, I tend to think it's... What's it called? Even the Prime Minister came out and said, how can the Australian team be delving in this sort of cheating? I mean, it's cricket, mate. It's kind of... It's not like it's common knowledge, but it does happen. And I just find the reaction way over the top. And particularly the Prime Minister's reaction. I mean, that's a bit laughable from my stance anyway. What about you, Liam?
Well, the Prime Minister also tweeted about the AFLW Grand Final. Most of the comments were... Name your favourite moment. Malcolm Turnbull knows nothing about sport. But one thing I'm surprised, Smith's got a one-game suspension, but yet the guy who, I can't remember his name now.
Bancroft.
No, the South African who got the 2 games.
Faf du Plessis.
Yeah. He got the 2 games and got let off for a bump at someone who's just came out and admitted cheating.
What's his name? Oh, Rabada.
Rabada, that's it, yes.
Yeah, Rabada.
So he got 2 weeks for a bump and something else. Smith admitted the cheating, ball tampering. All that stuff gets a week, gets one match.
Mm, straight out.
I think you should at least get a series. As much as you said it's blown out of proportion, it is a terrible look.
I don't know. I'm not saying like the suspension or whatever. I'm just saying like the reaction to it is just completely over the top in my opinion.
I just feel like the Australians pride ourselves on cricket. You know, cricket's our national sport. And we just got caught red-handed cheating in a series that's already been tampered by... on-field stuff, you know, the fights between Warner and the South African teams, the inappropriate comments, the bumping, the mix of words, and now the cheating. And it's odd to see a sport where you go on the day after you get caught cheating.
Mm.
Like, they got caught cheating, and they go out and play that next day. It would have been such an awkward feeling for everyone in the Australian room.
Also, one thing that I find interesting... The umpires didn't change the ball, did they?
No.
Therefore, the ball was still in a deemably good condition and suitable condition to play. This is like half the reason why I say it is completely over the top. I mean, ball tampering, at the end of the day, teams can do as much as they want to the ball. They are not going to change it as much as they wish or as they want to. They will get reverse swing, but they're not going to get it a lot. And at the end of the day, the umpires are going to be they are the officials, and they are the adjudicators on whether the ball is fair or not, and they adjudicated the ball was fair. So obviously they attempted to cheat the Australians and didn't succeed because the ball was deemed fair to play with, And we still got a reverse swing. So
and they scored 373, so it didn't work
exactly,
at all.
It didn't work at all. So I don't know. Obviously, it's not right, but, like, every national team does it.
Mm.
Whether or not they get caught or not is another story, but whether or not they want to admit it, they do it in some shape or form. They'll do it with their zipper, whatever they do, it happens. So, yeah, and obviously the Indians, not being racist at all here, but the Indians have just absolutely got on Steve Smith's back here and just completely backed in Kohli for the greatest test player in this modern age. So this is a great platform for all the Indian fans out there to back Kohli in, isn't it?
So are you hinting at your local league? Has any ball tampering happened?
Oh, we don't do it because we can't even do it. I mean, clubs talk about chucking the sunscreen on. I know they chuck it in a freezer with one side on the sunscreen for like 2 weeks before a semi-final or whatever. You hear all these stories. I've never been involved in any of that stuff, but yeah, you get caught. Like we put sunscreen on our pants and rub it. I mean, you do little stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like I've done it. I've chucked sunscreen on my pants and gone like, yeah, chuck it here. And I do it on the shiny side. So, yes, I admit to ball tampering. There you go.
There you go. That's an exclusive here on the sports desk.
Exclusive.
So what do you think? Do you think everyone should get the sack? Do you think Smith should remain captain? Lehman should remain coach?
Lehman's probably going to go. See, after this, it's kind of hard to keep them all. I reckon it's just whether... I want to see what the rest of the players and the rest of the state players pretty much have to say about this. If they're completely like, what is going on, then they've got to go, Smith and Warner, in terms of leadership group. But if it's not like well received, but just like, what's going on, they still support them, then I think you've got to keep them because I don't think there's anyone at this stage who can take over from Smith as captain.
Yeah, and well, Warner, I think, is on his way out anyways.
Warner, there's no chance Warner's captain in the Australian team. Will he captain the fourth test?
No, Payne.
Has it been confirmed that he'll captain the fourth test?
Well, he captained yesterday as well.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, fun fact, I've learned this. None of the players involved in this ball tampering thing were Victorians. Hey, Australian selectors, we are loyal, hard-working people as Victorians.
Cam Brancroft from WA, and then Steve Smith and David Warner from New South Wales.
They said the leadership group, and there's no one in this team from Victoria, so...
Who's in the leadership group? Is it just those two?
No, there's five players.
Oh, who are the other three?
I actually have no idea. They didn't say.
Yeah.
So Warner, Smith,
I'd assume Stark?
Yeah, I assume Stark.
Lyon?
Which also means, I think on day two or day one, with Pat Cummins stepping on the ball.
I didn't hear about this. Cummins step on the ball?
Yeah, and they deemed it as a
teams
nothing.
Teams do this anyway. Like, a lot of bowlers will step on the ball accidentally.
Yeah, they deemed it as nothing, but since what came up, maybe it was something that they almost got caught for, but didn't.
Yeah. It was just an extremely stupid idea to use tape. I mean, just use dirt. Just keep the dirt. Also, mind you, Stuart Broad, he came out replying to Steve Smith's comments. When Steve Smith said that this was the first time Australia's done it, he's gone, yeah, really, righto. And he suggested that we cheat in the Ashes also. And a matter of fact, I saw a bit of footage. They claimed that Cam Brancroft put sugar in his pants, in the pocket of his pants, in the Ashes. So they're saying now England's trying to say that, oh, we cheated in the Ashes as well, which we probably did.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we probably did do that as well. But at the end of the day, they did as well.
Yeah.
Remember Jimmy Anderson? I think he was cleared for supposedly taking dirt off the ball.
Oh, yes.
But no, he probably wasn't.
And no one believes this is the first time we've done it. Like,
no, not at all.
This is not the...
No.
Like, you know...
Everyone's just getting on because they got caught.
And all
that's
the games,
thing. That's the thing, because they got caught. It's just, oh, so stupid.
So out of all the games Smith has captained, he thought day three of this pointless test series against South Africa will be the day he goes, oh, we're going to cheat for the first time.
You don't want to do it. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Why would they say that just for the first time, which is what Stuart Broad was saying, why would they change their methods in tampering or changing the condition of the ball? On this day, supposedly, when we had so much success against England, for example, and then so much success in the first test. I wonder what South Africa do. What do they do to get the ball reversing so much?
Oh, they probably do something different. They'll have a way.
They've got something. What would they do? They can't swing the ball naturally like that, because they swing it a lot more than us.
Although they might,
England do it as well.
Might have sharp nails and scratch into the ball.
Is that ball tampering?
It would be. Anything that tampers the ball.
That's ball tampering. Yeah. So it's like that's why I'm saying like it's a bit over the top.
It is.
Obviously they have to be suspended because they're caught and this is just one of the dumbest ways to tamper. Get yellow tape, which is clear to be seen. Oh, I don't know.
Chuck it down your pants and it's just,
yeah, to make it so obvious. I mean, that's just completely hot in the situation. Obviously, look, I'm putting it this way. It's no good in any say to tamper with the ball. But, like, there are many other legal ways of doing so, which you can't get caught, i.e. sunscreen. Use sunscreen. Shine the ball. I don't know. Throw the ball into the pitch until the umpires tell you not to. But, yeah, just...
Also, it's definitely
not a good look for the game. Mm-hmm. And, obviously, in terms of producing the next talent and all that, it just... And especially for juniors. I mean, what kind of example does he set to the juniors?
Exactly. And only a few months ago, Smith was looked at as the next Don Bradman. He was all the hype, and now he's in the same level as James Hurd.
I wouldn't put it that yet.
And I think only a few people support Essendon, and I think the whole country supports Australia. So,
yeah.
But I don't get why the fourth test is going ahead. It doesn't need to go ahead. It's been an absolute shit series anyways. There is no need
this
for
is
the
final
series
test, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's no need for the fourth test to go ahead.
Well, it does, because if we win it, it becomes a draw and we retain it, I believe. Yeah, because we won the last one.
Oh, and the person I feel for the most is the social media person at the Australian cricket. Because they had to post updates last night about the game. Like, anyone actually cared.
Yeah.
No one cared that Mitchell Starc got a wicket. No one's like, yay. You know.
Well, when Steve Smith went out to bat, he copped it.
The whole Australian team copped it. Oh, they copped it bad. Imagine Bancroft and Warnock the first two coming out. They would have got booed at... Well, Warnock got booed anyways, but...
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrible series. This is the icing on the cake, really. It's been a terrible series.
Back to what you asked me. Do you think they should be sacked? Warren Smith?
Well, I think a one-match suspension is too long.
Mm-hmm.
For being caught.
Too long?
Too short. I believe they should be sacked for quite a while. I don't know if Smith should come back as captain, but like you said, who's going to replace him? Like, we don't really have a captain. I know Mitch Marsh was looked at as the next captain, but
there was talk about Pete Hanscom, I reckon, a year ago when he was performing well.
Mm.
So, is he an option?
Well, Clark said he'll come back.
He'll replace Smith now, won't he?
He should, yeah.
Because he was a 12th man, I believe. Yeah. Because he came out onto the ground and pretty much told Bancroft, mate, you've been busted. I think I'm not sure whether or not he gave him the black handkerchief, which he showed to the umpires in protest, but yeah.
He might have. So if he's involved, that means the Victorian was involved.
Well, he pretty much got orders.
Yeah.
And when you get told what to do and you're 12th man, you've pretty much got to do it, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Bancroft as well.
Bancroft got told to do it. And obviously he's still done it, but... I mean, put yourself in that situation when the leadership group tell you
to do it,
you've got to do this. What are you? You'd be out of your mind if you don't do it.
Exactly.
Like, you've got to do it. So I don't know why they didn't suspend or conduct any demerit reports to the Australian leadership team as well.
I think that's why I can't remember his name. Someone's coming over to do a proper investigation.
Yeah, Cricket Australia doing a proper investigation.
So it's not over by a long shot.
Oh, yeah, this is not over at all.
When is the next test? We don't have a next test series at all. Cannot remember. I think maybe India or somewhere. But, it's terrible.
We're going to head into some positive sports news, and we're going to discuss...
Well, maybe not for you. Maybe not for you, this is.
Well, not for you either, because you guys copped...
I copped a double L.
But anyway, AFL is back, round one.
Yes, but we'll kick off with the AFLW Grand Final, which is finished. And... The Western Bulldogs ran out winners 4-3-27. The Brisbane Lions 3-3-21. A late goal from Bushnak could not help the Lions. And Ben, the Brisbane Lions women's team are changing their colours actually from blue and gold to blue and silver because they just can't get the gold.
Okay, I'm just going to choose to leave that. And good call. That's it.
But yeah, it's the first time I think history. Therefore, the first time in history that teams lost back-to-back grand finals by the same margin. And one of my biggest issues of the week was actually during the game. Well, after the game, You know, they redid the 2016 grand final with Katie Brennan coming on. She lifted up the shirt to show her doggies jumper. And then everyone in the Bulldogs list came up and celebrated with the Premiership Cup. And I believe the players who played in the game should celebrate with the Premiership Cup. The players who didn't play in the game can celebrate after in the rooms and the after party and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I understand Katie Brennan lifting the cup. It was a good gesture, even though I'm pretty sure I've seen it before somewhere. But after, it was just, I didn't like it. I was not a fan. I think the Doggies took it too far, having everyone there. Like, this girl that probably no one knew her name lifted up her shirt to show her Doggies jumper. You know, if you don't play the game, don't celebrate. You're going to look like a buffoon in a year's time when you actually think about it.
Well, they've had history in doing this, the Dogs.
Oh.
Bob Murphy, 2016.
Yeah, I felt like he took it a bit too far as well. I do agree with Sam Newman when he said that.
I'm a bit conflicted as well. I mean, you kind of like it, but yeah, I see what you mean. If you don't play, that's it.
Like, you know, the players should sing the song after the game the first time. Then if you want to do one with the whole group, it's good. Like Richmond did in the rooms. They did a one with, and I think the Doggies did the exact same thing. They got all the players, the Doggies did, 2016, they got everyone who was a part of the club singing the song, which is good. Yeah. It was after the match, in the rooms, after the post-match address. But why are the celebrations going on? It's the players who played in the grand final. Everyone else, you know, you didn't play, wait your turn. You know, celebrate afterwards, be happy for your team. But yeah, let's kick off. We've already done Thursday night. We did Thursday on Friday.
Friday night was a really good match.
It was.
Essendon coming from behind to defeat the Crows 99-87 there, Etihad. They were behind by as much as
20 points.
It was 20 odd points in that last term, and they just, Adelaide simply ran out of legs.
They did.
And Essendon just completely overran them and got the W.
Yeah, I mean, there's no worrying signs for Adelaide. Like, they are depleted. They know Brad Crouch, Brody Smith, Taylor Walker, Tom Lynch. And then they also lost Jake Lever and Charlie Cameron to separate clubs. So they're missing most of their grand final team from last year. And Hugh Greenwood was a late inclusion from, I can't remember the guy who came from North Melbourne. I think not Lever Greenwood.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he absolutely slipped my mind. But good win for Essendon. They've got a nice game next week against Fremantle at the new Perth Stadium. So they're looking probably, you'd think they should get over that game comfortably, get a 2-0 start to the season. Let's jump to Saturday now, when the St Kilda Saints took on the Brisbane Lions. And the scoreline doesn't represent how good of a game this was. St Kilda got over the Lions 6-11, 107 to 12-10, 82.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions played much better than what the scoreline said.
Oh, yeah. And this is probably the tale of the tape from last season in terms of sense. We do well the first three quarters. I think we were in front a little bit in that third term, and then, yeah, that last term we just simply run out of legs and let the team overrun us. But yeah, it was a much improved performance by us. Mm. But yeah, unfortunately, went down 25 points.
Yeah, and it was good seeing players like Christensen and Charlie Cameron looking good for a forward line duo.
Yeah, they looked good, yeah.
Big lad Cam Rayner kicked a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see.
Barry kicked three.
Yeah, Barry was really well. He was very good.
Wow. Haven't heard that before.
Really? That's surprise.
Massive surprise.
I know.
He's done very good.
I think Taylor
he loves it.
No, I love your reaction to
very good.
It's kind of my reaction when people go, oh, Freo hasn't won a flag.
God.
But
okay,
Taylor Walker did good in the back line. I prefer Taylor Walker as a back, not Taylor Walker, Josh Walker.
Josh Walker.
As a backman. I know you're not a big fan of.
No.
Not going to grab a Josh Walker merchandise anytime soon.
No chance.
But good win for St Kilda. You know, they're a team that's threatening to make the top eight. And according to Bob Murphy, this team's threatening to make the top eight as well. The Gold Coast Suns, they played at, oh, sorry, we'll get the free game after. The Gold Coast Suns played North Melbourne at the Cairns Aquatic Centre.
The Cairns Aquatic Centre. Well, that's a very accurate statement because it was like a swimming pool, wasn't it?
It was terrible.
It was shocking. Oh. And Gold Coast, they got the win there, defending North Melbourne. Got the score here, 7-13-55 to 5-9-39.
And all goals kicked at one end of the ground.
There you go.
It was
The swimming pool end.
Yeah, it was.
Which end is that?
See, I was thinking the shallow end because it was less water.
Ah, the shallow end of the pool. Yeah, nice, the pool. I like that. Okay. But well, let's get back to your game.
Yeah, so I
Frio got absolutely whacked. Double the margin that we got whacked. They got smashed by 50 points. 16-14, 110 to 9-6-60 there at the Adelaide Oval against Port Adelaide.
You know what the one thing that came to my mind after watching this game?
How bad are we?
How did Pavlich kick 700 goals without delivering inside 450? We could have...
That just tells you how good of a player Pav was.
We couldn't hit a brick wall. So many times you just bomb it inside 450. None of their mic's on.
Your mic's on.
So I turned on the mic's on. That's okay.
Good one. I turned mine off because I just needed to adjust it.
Okay. I didn't see the light. Gone colorblind in my old age. I am 22. I'm near my quarter life crisis.
Way true. Okay.
Frio played absolutely terrible. They started off really well. I think got like the first nine inside 50s. And we just couldn't score, which is a surprise. I know if you're a Frio fan out there, we couldn't score. We struggled to score. What is this? The biggest issue for a lot of people is the fact that we played five people over the age of 30. And six if Lee Spur didn't get injured before the round one. We have Ross Lyon saying to rebuild, but we're playing so many old players. I get playing players like David Mundy and Sandilands. Sandilands won't play all season. Even Johnson to an extent, but Daniel Pearce had no spot on the side. Ballantyne is on his way out. He played, granted, maybe his JLT form was the reason why he got picked. But your players like Brandon Matera now and Michael Walters, it just wasn't a good game for Fremantle. You know, they came in with a lot of hype coming off the round, the JLT series. People even thought, they could play finals, but no. After this performance, the second worst performance of the round. I might say third worst.
Third worst?
Because on Friday night, Tom Mitchell played Collingwood Football Club.
Saturday night,
Tom Mitchell played the Collingwood Football Club.
How many touches did he get?
54.
54.
A lazy 54.
And you think that, you know what, we're just going to let him run free. We will not put a tag on him at all.
Yeah. You know, Bakker's like, terrible. He's not damaging enough.
I think there's a stat. Four of the last five times a player has recorded 50 or more disposals.
Against Collingwood.
It's been against Collingwood. Twice Tom Mitchell's done it. Who was it, the other two?
Gary Ablett.
Gary Ablett, yeah. So, incredible. I mean, Buckley, he's shown he's had history in this, that whenever that, like, a star midfield gets on top, he just backs his midfield in to get them. And I think... How long has he been in term for? Since 2012. So this is his sixth season. His fifth or sixth season. You'd think he'd get some inkling that his midfield isn't as good as what the media thinks, and it definitely doesn't stack up against the rest of the competition. So yeah. Surely you put a tag on Mitchell.
I feel like the team in general isn't as good as people think it might be. I think they're waiting to get a big name next year with either Tom Mitchell or Sloan. I think they're putting all the eggs in this one basket that may or may not happen. And the fact that Gold Coast finished, at the moment a game in front of Collingwood might lead Tom Mitchell to stay. Actually, a stat we didn't mention. Doug Howard for Port Adelaide broke the record of the most spoils with 22. So another record broken, but Tom Mitchell decided to take the thunder by having the most touches. Because in AFL, defenders are like the interstate clubs. They don't get loved. It's just, as someone who played defence when I played football, defenders do not get the love. The forwards get all the glory because they kicked the goal, which was created from the defenders' hard work.
Was it?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Had nothing to do with the midfield winning the ball?
No. It's the defenders' hard work. Defenders win matches.
Defenders win matches.
I am all for...
You heard it here first on the sports deck. It's the defenders. It's not the blokes in the middle who win the ball. It's the defenders.
It is the defenders.
Well, the midfielders do their job. You will not have to see the ball in your defence at all.
You could win a game 1-0 if the defenders do their job properly. It is the defenders. It's like the goalkeeper's the most important player on the soccer pitch.
Okay.
We'll go to Sunday.
Yeah, what happened on Sunday, mate?
So, I think there's got to be an alcohol cut-off limit here for the Western Bulldogs. They've had one too many bevos.
Wow.
With
God. A beverage.
The puns are good today. I'm in the pun zone.
Terrible. They got absolutely walloped anyway by the Giants.
They did.
20 goals, 13, 133 to 7,951. And it's not just the loss, which is terrible news for the Dogs. It's the fact that Tom Liberatore is out for the season, most likely. He's done an ACL. He's going to get scans today, we believe. And ACL injuries, he's done for the year.
Yep, and it's the opposite leg that he did in 2015. So I guess that's a positive, if you can find a positive out of that. But the Giants played pretty much a perfect game. I don't think you can fault anything they did during the game. Their forward line worked, having the two talls instead of the three, which they'd gone with. Rory Lobb starred in the ruck. I watched the game thinking to myself, if only the Western Bulldogs had an All-Australian or a North Smith medalist in their back line, it could help. But that's dreaming too much, you know. When your captain has like seven touches, it's not a good look because he's not a forward. He's a defender. Joe Hansen, I can see play forward, you know, maybe a bit higher up than most. But Easton Wood's a defender. Keep him in the back line, especially now that Crozier's gone out with a knee injury. Easton Wood would have to play in the back line.
Gary Ablett.
Yes. Oh.
Returned to the Cats. So, looked a bit weird in number four.
Yes. I'm going to give an example.
But he had a great match, didn't he? 39 touches. Same with Selwood.
Mm.
Sorry, what
I'm going to give you an example. So just say I cheated on my fiance, right? So I cheated on my fiance with, at the time, a girl that was better looking. After a while, my fiance...
After a while, my... Gold Coast better looking than Geelong.
At the time, they were offering him more money, you know. So, but after, you know, just say 7 years with this girl, she got uglier, where my fiance, got better looking. Well, my ex-fiance got better looking.
Well, remained. So then remained good looking.
They remain. She had a 2015 where, you know, she, you know, wasn't as good looking, but she got better. So I decided to go back with her. But even though I cheated on her, her family is so happy I'm back. It's this big thing. I'm back with my fiance again.
But the only thing, the difference is, Ablett's the favourite son. Of Geelong.
Well, I'm.
What if your fiance's family
ask my
absolutely loved you?
They do, though. They do.
There you go. They absolutely loved you, and they welcome you back with open arms.
No, but if I cheated, no. It is the worst homecoming ever. McPhee's homecoming to Fremantle was better. Because McPhee didn't want to leave Fremantle in 2001 when he went to Essendon. He got traded about his knowledge. McPhee coming
you see,
to Geelong, Fremantle was
Geelong,
better.
Geelong had replacements for Ablett. Like, it was basically no issue. And, like, now that he's come back, Geelong fans are just wrapped because of the midfield they've got. So, I will argue that.
It is a terrible homecoming. There's anyway, Geelong. A 34-year-old man, it's terrible.
It was an incredible match, anyway, between Geelong and the D's. Went down to the absolute wire. D's going down 13-16, 94 to 14-13, 97. Maxi Gawn for the D's. With 10 seconds left on the clock after he kicked the ball, he had a chance to put the D's in front.
Absolutely shanked it.
And he shanked it to the left. I love it. I'm not sure if you've seen this, but there's this video of this Melbourne Demon supporter at a pub.
Oh, absolutely raging, yeah.
So when Max Gawn, he marked the ball, he pretty much goes outside the pub, watches the kick, and then as soon as Max Gawn misses it, he puts his scarf onto the road and just walks off. And he was not happy, so... I mean, how much pain can a club endure?
It's the Norm Smith curse. It is going strong, and it doesn't look like ending. That's the main thing. They should have won that game.
Yeah.
They should not have been put down by 27 points at halftime. And they had five opportunities in the last 10 minutes alone to win the game. They lost it more than Geelong won. Like, credit to Geelong. I think Tim Kelly played phenomenal. I love
Rattigola. Got him on my Supercoach team, so that was good.
Rattigola.
Yeah.
Daniel Mendel with 4 goals, 1. Tom Hawkins, did he play? Like, I'm pretty sure it was...
Not sure.
I know Harry Taylor got injured, and yet they made him carry off Joel Selwood.
Oh, I was at the Grand Prix, so you'd have to answer that for me.
But yeah, all I know is Harry Taylor got injured with a foot injury, but yet they made him carry off Joel Selwood after the game. Good job there caring about your players.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a good win by Geelong. It's going to be a good game next week between Geelong and Hawthorn, but that's usually always a good game. It's a given.
It always delivers. always delivers that match. But, Easter Monday.
Oh, it is absolutely.
Oh, it's Easter.
Yeah.
Easter's coming up. Fantastic.
So are we on Easter Monday or do we get a holiday as well?
I'm not sure. I'll get back to you.
Because we know we kind of don't get paid for this. So.
I will get back to you, Liam. I'll get back to you as soon as I find out. I'm not sure, actually. Maybe not. Okay. West Coast, Sydney. The final game of round one of the 2018 AFL season. The Weagles went down to their arch rivals, the Sydney Swans. We remember that great rivalry from... They are arch rivals now.
They're not. The rivalry ended 10 years ago.
No, it didn't. It's still going. It's still going strong.
Name a close game they had in the last 10 years.
I can't. West Coast lost 86-115 to the Swans. Buddy Franklin kicking 8 snags, one behind.
Yeah, he looks scary good.
Does he?
Scary good. Kicking 8 goals. Even though he won the Common last year, people did predict Buddy's, you know, he's going to drop off. He's, what, 39 now. Closing in on 50, I guess. But he looked like $10 million. He looked like what he was worth.
He looked fantastic.
Goal of the year is done and dusted. Did you see Luke Parker's bicycle kick?
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Goal of the year is done and dusted. That is goal of the year. Nothing will beat that. Someone would have to kick it from...
Eddie Betts will do something to beat that.
He'd probably get Jeremy Howard, you know, get robbed.
Yeah, who knows?
No, that has to be goal of the year. West Coast played okay. They did put up a fight. Better than what I thought they would do. But the home ground curse has continued.
Without a doubt. And you take on Fremantle. You take on Essendon next week.
Like, I know I do an Essendon podcast, but I'm not an Essendon supporter. And I have to talk positive about Essendon. Harder than it looks.
It's hard.
But no, yeah, Essendon looks like they're going to defeat Fremantle in being realistically.
Well, they will.
You know, they're coming off a very hot win against Adelaide.
Both the Perth teams will not make the eight. They'll finish bottom. I'd say highest finish will be 12th for the Western Australian teams.
Nice. We'll get to the ladder now.
Bad luck, buddy. It's all right.
I'm not fazed. When was the last time Brisbane made the finals?
When was the last time? 2009. Yeah, but how many flags did Fremantle have? You didn't think about that, did you?
Oh, the Fremantle flags.
The Fremantle flags.
That is a side tickler.
Zero. Absolutely
donut.
None.
Donuts.
All right, we'll go through the top four. GWS are on top of the ladder. They lead Port, Hawthorn, and maybe the only time we'll ever see this happening, Gold Coast are in the top four.
Oh, they are looking pretty there. Pretty in fourth position, the Gold Coast Suns. It looks right.
Fourth position.
It looks correct. I like it.
It looks correct.
But the GWS first, yeah, talking about looking correct, yeah. They played an absolute perfect game. Probably they played a near perfect game, apart from their first probably 5 minutes.
Mm.
But it was pretty much a close round. So Hawthorn and Gold Coast didn't blow their teams out the park. Sydney and St Kilda again, and then you got Richmond Essendon closing at the eight. As well as now, you've got Geelong in ninth position, Melbourne 10th, Adelaide, Carlton, Brisbane, West Coast, North Melbourne, Collingwood, Fremantle, and the Doggies should be 19th on the ladder for how poor they played.
You're listening to Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7 on this rather gloomy Melbourne Monday morning. I'm Ben, you're Liam, we're talking sport, and we're getting into some basketball. Yes, I am Ben, and you are Liam.
Is it Ben or Benjamin? Are you Benjamin?
Legally, it is Benjamin, but it just drives me nuts. Like, I just find it, like, just too long.
But who calls their kid Benjamin? No one's actually known Benjamin all through their lives. It's like a placeholder name. It's like, your name's Benjamin, like, but make up your own name.
I don't know. It's just like the formal ways, like, yeah. Like, I know, and, like, I understand it, but it's just like, I just prefer Ben. Whenever I'm in trouble, it's Benjamin. So that's like...
Oh, see, whenever I'm in trouble, it's Liam Michael O'Grady. I get the name. You get the whole... full name. Yeah, okay. You know you've messed up.
All right, we'll get stuck into another Ben. I'm not sure if he's Benjamin also.
Perfect segue there.
Is he a Benjamin as well? I think he is.
I might look that up.
Liam's going to look it up. I believe he may be in Benjamin also. But anyway, Ben Simmons.
Yes, Benjamin David Simmons.
Yep. Yes, so it is Benjamin as well. See, we're all Benjamins, but we all just call Ben.
Well, apart from Ben, I think Benji Marshall's Benjamin
Bungie.
Marshall.
Bungie. Bungie Marshall. All right, so Ben Simmons another triple-double. He posted 15 points, 12 rebounds, and 13 assists in our boys, the 76ers, win against the Minnesota Timberwolves 120-108. That is his 10th triple-double in his rookie season.
Just a lazy, lazy 10.
Lazy 10.
Yeah. Pretty much, I think, could have the award, the best rookie award, wrapped up.
If he doesn't win it, it is an absolute farce. It is, if Ben Simmons does not win the rookie of the season, it is clear cut that the NBA have an agenda against Australia.
I feel like they do. It's kind of like, you know that guy that's racist? It's like, I'm not racist, but. It's kind of like, we didn't hate Australia, but.
It's like you're not racist to New Zealand, but.
Oh, blatantly racist to New Zealand.
Socks. Posh on chops. We love New Zealand. I love the Kiwis.
I love one of the islands there. One of the two.
Which one? The north or the south?
The north. The south is fake. And I mean, I'm staying at...
Oh, you heard it here the first. South the Island, south is fake.
Like, you go all to right. North Island, it's pure New Zealand.
Screw all that. Back on NBA. Standings at this stage. The Raptors still leading it in the east. They're easily pretty much going to finish top, you believe. The Celtics are in second. The Cavs are on a 5-game winning streak. But the team who are bettering them are the Sixers, actually. They're on a 6-game winning streak, and they are in the 4th seed. They have overtaken the Wizards and the Pacers to get the 4th seed at this stage of the season.
How good's that?
No one thought the Sixers were going to be this good. We thought that, okay, yeah, the Sixers will be a playoff team, no doubt. But 4th seed, if they can stay in the 4th seed, that's incredible. I think, and if they beat the Cavs in like the playoffs, that says it. LeBron will go to Philadelphia for sure.
But he shouldn't, though.
He shouldn't, but this is clearly the best team that he should go to. If he wants to stay in the East, he goes to Philly. Mm. That's it.
I feel like the other team
will be Houston.
Philadelphia is doing a natural progression. They're building it out of something. They don't need someone to fast-track their growth.
Their growth has already been fast-tracked already. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid playing full seasons. Markel Fultz still to come back.
That's natural. Everything there is natural.
Still being fast tracked.
Faster tracked than we thought, but it's
from
natural
last season,
growth though.
It is natural growth.
And that's
why great. 4th seed. Mm. Get on the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm happy I got on before everyone else did.
No, I don't want more basketball bandwagon fans. They're the best.
Everyone's gonna get on the Sixers now. I jumped on the pre-bandwagon. I keep telling people that.
I don't mind that. I think a lot of it...
I got respect. I jumped on when... Because I had no team. I jumped on when Simmons got drafted, and I saw JoJo absolutely dominating. And in that season, we finished in the bottom four, and I still supported us. So, yeah.
I've got a mate who's still a Miami supporter. He's still...
Yeah, good.
Right.
Yeah. Me too. I've got a mate who's still a Miami fan, yeah. Even after Wade left.
Yeah.
Hey, he's absolutely wrapped that Wade's back anyway.
But yeah, that's all I want to talk about you going for 76 quickly. So if Ben Simmons leaves, which in the world of basketball, it's pretty likely he'll probably leave in 5-6 years' time, go to another club, would you still go for the 76ers?
Well, I have to now, don't I?
I've
completely public announced that I'll go for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, so you're not like the Golden State supporters who come out the wilderness or the Cleveland supporters who went through the hard times about LeBron?
Well, it's like I heavily support the Philadelphia 76ers, but like I'll support every Aussie as well. So like that's what will happen. I'll still go for the 76ers, but like wherever Simmons go, I'll support him.
Well, yeah, like I said, I'm
because that's how I originally supported the NBA. I just followed every single NBA Australian in the NBA, and I supported all the teams. So it's like
I go for Boston, but yeah, I'm kind of rooting for the 76ers as well, just because how good Ben Simmons is.
Yeah. He's been doing extremely well.
But let's go to the West. And due to the injury crisis at Golden State Warriors,
Curry is
coming out again.
He's out for 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Minor MCL sprain in his left knee. He'll come back for the playoffs. But, yeah, not good for the Warriors. The Warriors, they'll still finish in the second seed, you believe. They're 10 games clear of the third-seeded Portland Trailblazers.
Well,
the Rockets on an 8-game winning streak in the top seed. So Portland third, OKC even on the wins with Portland. They're in the 4th seed. And then rounding out the 8 for the Western Conference is New Orleans, San Antonio back in there, Minnesota, and Utah.
So the NBA season starting to shape up. Almost playoffs time.
Well, it is playoffs time. It is playoffs time in the NBL. NBA, the Australian yes. League. Melbourne no, United on fire and with Adelaide 36ers. I don't know how you didn't pick up on that. I'm really surprised you didn't pick up. Okay, Friday night, here in Melbourne, controversial match. Melbourne, they won by 3 points, 101-98. They led the series 2-1. Game four, yesterday, at Adelaide, 3 o'clock. Adelaide were leading by as much as like 20 points at half time. They only won by 9. 90-81. So yeah, game big five.
Catch up. The score's a level one stage to the last as well.
Yes.
So a good comeback for Melbourne United, just, you know, not good enough.
Sorry, I'm just counting. Is it Saturday, the 31st?
Yeah.
Saturday, yep. Saturday is the grand final between Melbourne. I was just double checking.
I'm sorry, like, they're counting your fingers.
Yeah, because like, I knew it was Saturday, yeah. But like, I wasn't sure if the first was on Saturday. And, all right, anyway. Saturday at 6 p.m. here at Hisense Arena. If you do not have a ticket, if there are tickets available still, I doubt there are, get down. Yeah, Melbourne United v Adelaide 36ers. This is the decider.
Game five.
Winner takes all. Your prediction?
Oh, we said this last week, I think, that because it's at home, it's gone home away. Melbourne should win, but then trends like to be broken, so Adelaide, of course, a big chance, but I think Melbourne might just sneak over the line. In a phenomenal final, this is a phenomenal final series. So phenomenal, in fact, I think has brought NBL up a peg.
Mm.
Like, I think more people would be interested in this final series than it was the last final series with Perth and Adelaide 36ers. Maybe because Perth has been, you know, it's always Perth and New Zealand the last 10 years. So having Melbourne back again against Adelaide, who came from last year, another big club. So two big states playing up against each other. Basketball's back in Australia in a big way. In NBL, NBA, everything's coming. Australia's going to win a gold medal one day in the Olympics.
Fingers crossed. We're going to get a medal first. Yes. We both reckon Melbourne United will win. And we are now going to get stuck into our wrap-up, starting off with the Formula One Australian Grand Prix, which took place on the weekend. I'm proud to say I was there for the all 4 days. And yesterday was race day. Hamilton started on a pole ahead of Raikkonen and Vettel. However, Sebastian Vettel was able to take the chocolates there. He finished in first place, leading Hamilton and Raikkonen. And Daniel Ricciardo started the race in eighth position. He was able to finish in fourth. And then rounding out the top five was Alonso, who held off a fast-finishing Max Verstappen. But the race was all Hamilton's to... It was Hamilton's to lose pretty much from the start. Hamilton was leading from the start. He'd already opened up around a 3 or 4 second gap from Kimi. He pitted. Sebastian Vettel stayed out on his tyres. And then controversy happened. The two Haas cars who were actually holding up the Red Bulls, they were both in fourth and fifth position respectively. They both went out at the same time. No. It was like steering wheel malfunctioning or something like that. I'm not too sure on the exact details, but yeah, they both went out and they caused a virtual safety car first, and then because the marshals couldn't remove the Haas cars from the track, a safety car was called out. And what that meant was, and then Sebastian Vettel pretty much had a free pit stop. So he was in front. He hadn't pitted. Hamilton and Raikkonen, they both had pitted. So Vettel goes in pits. Hamilton behind the safety car. The safety car wasn't even out yet. So Hamilton was just going at a normal pace. Vettel goes out. He just got in front of Hamilton. And that was it.
So I'm going to ask you a racing question because I know nothing about car racing. They go broom, broom, and some people crash. But so if you're in first position and you go for a pit stop, can you lose your first place, or was it like a pause on your race?
No, you do lose first place. Oh. As soon as you pit, you lose first place. But you're still like technically in first place, because like you're the first one who's pitted. So it's like it's interesting. You have to pit certain. Oh yeah, that's the great thing about racing. It's all about strategy. So like Seb was going for the overcut. So the overcut is when you pit after people. The undercut is when you pit before and attempt to get it. So like, it's really interesting racing. So it's like, I'll do this through when we've got a lot of time. But anyway, that wraps up Formula One for this week.
Yes, and let's go to the soccer, which is still on, by the way.
Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah. Oh.
Still going.
Melbourne victory lost 1-0 to Perth Glory, and Melbourne City won 3-0 over the Western Sydney Wanderers. The latter is pretty much the same. I think City's now jumped victory back on third place. Not too sure. But let's go to the NRL, where the Melbourne Storm won the grand final replay, which was on a Thursday night, going head-to-head with the Richmond Carlton game.
What a debacle.
NRL people, come on. You guys, that's the most stupidest thing ever. Yes, Melbourne Storm are popular, Mum. We do like our Melbourne Storm. But not against the opener of the AFL. And it's a stupid, stupid decision.
I don't know.
But yeah, Melbourne Storm go over the line with a 30-14 win after that as well. St. George and New Zealand, who many people tipped to win the Wooden Spoon, believe it or not, are both undefeated on top of the ladder.
St. George are a running meme in the NRL meme stratosphere, already wanting to book grand final tickets they are.
Of course, you'll be all up in the memes. You know, back in my day, memes used to be like a troll face. That were memes. Melbourne Rebels scored a... Sorry.
Did they win 476-14, Liam? Because this is what you put. I'm confused here. It was a 46, it'd be. I assume.
No, 476, they absolutely... No, yeah, 46.
46, okay, yep.
But yeah, so you
know. And then Cocker Hoop, a.k.a. Kokkinakis, defeated Federer. First time a player outside the top 100, or the lowest ranked player to defeat Federer in who knows how long, defeated Federer 3-6, 6-3, 7-6, 7-4 in the final set, in the second round of the Miami Open. Cocker Hoop.
I just read what I saw in the newspaper. I didn't know his name at all.
Oh, I thought you just did that.
No.
It's Kokkinakis.
Kokkinakis.
The nasty Kokkinakis.
I was trying to find a name, and I could not find the name at all.
Terrible
journalism. From broadcast journalism student, that was terrible journalism by me. Anyways, I'll be back on Wednesday with better journalism, hopefully.
Hopefully.
With Caleb, we're going to discuss the Western Bulldogs.
And
so.
I will finally be back on Friday, because I don't know.
I did a stand-in for you on Friday. I was...
Yeah, because I was at the GP. It was worth it.
Priorities, of course.
Hamilton's signature. I got Ricardo to sign my hat. I also got a photo with Ricardo. And Vettel. I got Vettel's signature as well. He just got to me. I had to leg it to get to the Melbourne Walk. It was so worth it.
I saw one of your photos. It looked like you were photoshopping. It took me a while to see you as well. You're in the middle.
Yeah, I was in the middle. Yeah, kind of ruined my mate's photo. But we were supposed to get it together. But yeah, he kind of went in front of me all the way. There's a lot more photos anyway. All right, that wraps up this Monday edition of The Sports Desk. Liam will be back on Wednesday. I'll be back on Friday. Tune into The Sports Desk on Omni. And yeah, that wraps up this week's Monday edition of The Sports Desk. We're going to leave you with the Shrek meme version of I'm a Believer. This is I'm a Believer by Smash Mouth. You've listened to The Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7.